The following program, Voice of Victory, is sponsored by Mount Olivet Baptist Church.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone.
And a good morning to you, my friends. This is the Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Brother Walker, pastor, Mount Olivet Baptist Church here in Lexington, Kentucky. So glad you could tune in this good day. It is a good day indeed, is it not? It's the day that the Lord has made. We're supposed to rejoice and be glad in it. I was thinking the other day, I said, God, I want to see you work today. And I said, God, I want to see you work today. And I want to know that you did the work. And I did see him work. That's a thought that I just come across me, that I, as I started my day, God, I want to see you work today. You know, it makes you conscious of this thought. I'm looking for God to work. Now, I got to do my part. Duty is ours. Results are God's. And that little line came from a man that was the son of one of our presidents, a man who grew up in the home of John Adams, John Quincy Adams. And Mr. John Quincy Adams became, I want to say our fifth president, fourth possibly. He was the sixth president of the United States. And he was fighting slavery. He was fighting slavery. From 1825 to 1829, he was president. And he battled for the freedom of slavery. Now, in 1829, they were still 36 years away, 30, I should say, 2 years away from the fight for freedom began. And yet he said, duty is ours, results are God's. We do not fulfill our duty, my friend, because we are sure we will see the results. We fulfill our duty because that's what's right. It's what fulfills a life. It's doing what we're supposed to do. And by the way, what we're supposed to do always translates into a happier life. One that you can look in the mirror and take a sense of honor and respect for yourself. And after all, we cannot respect ourselves. It's very difficult to get through life and live and be on top side. It really is. Here in Scripture in Acts chapter 12, we come to men who were doing their duty, fulfilling their duty, doing what they're supposed to do. And I'll be honest with you, if all you do is out of duty, you're going to lose the fight. Those times that you drive yourself because it's what you're supposed to do are great times, times that build your character. But doing what you're supposed to do out of a heart of love is the greatest reason for doing what we're supposed to do. There is no greater reason. Never will be, never has been. I say again, the greatest reason for me to do what I'm supposed to do is out of a sense of love. The greatest reason for me to stay with my wife is because I love my wife. I love God. I love what God who gave me my wife, but I love my wife. Now, there's some times out of duty, I will love my wife. I may be tired. I may be weary. I may be overwhelmed with life. I may want to quit. I may in my flesh and in my emotions just want to throw in the towel. But when I meditate and think, I cannot do that, it would be wrong. And God, until the inspiration of love comes back, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I've often found that that inspires a certain feeling. You ever live under disappointment? Boy, I have. Man, sometimes you look at your life and you're just disappointed. And you feel like such a failure. I know I do. I do. You know why I feel like a failure? Because often I'm a failure. I don't like admitting that. And you're listening to a man that is a competitor. And especially when I was young and played sports. I mean, I didn't compete just to compete. I wanted to win. And my heart wanted to win. I remember the elation of winning, and I remember the deflation of losing. I look at my life in recent days, and I felt like a failure. I mentioned this years ago to a man that from my perspective is a great success, just a great success. And I asked him, I said, boy, I tell you, I battle every now and again. I know you probably don't, but I battle feeling like a failure. He looked at me and he says, I battle that every day. I couldn't believe it. That a success battles feeling like a failure. It taught me something. There will be times that you feel like a failure. Doesn't mean you're a failure. Here, these men were doing what God called them to do. It looks like maybe it's not working out so good. I mean, we find the disciple Stephen murdered and standing there would become the greatest missionary the world's ever known. But yet, there he was, Saul of Tarsus. We find here in Acts 12:1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, frustrate them, irritate them, torment them. It's exactly what vex means. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, one of the sons of thunder, invincible. How could this happen? How could this happen these few years after Jesus ascended to the Father? Not even 10 years. And here he is being murdered by a wicked king. Now we're talking about the life of Peter in these studies. And what a life he had. And what a life you have, friend. I was struck by the thought recently that every one of us have a story to tell, a witness to give of God's grace in our lives. Now it's time you give it. It's time you tell it. You know why people that have been born again, saved, and in the family of God, you know why they've ceased to tell that story and share that gospel? Because they've spiritually cold. They've lost some momentum. They've ceased to grow spiritually. Spiritual birth, spiritual growth, two different things. Heard a guy use that term, and I loved it. I've not lost it. I love it. It's true. You're spiritually born into the family of God, but now it's time to grow. And you should grow. You wasn't born to be a sinner. You wasn't born to stay the same. You were not. You were born to have a life changed and transformed into the image of Christ. And you started growing possibly. I know many have grew for a month or two and then just stopped. Some for a year or two and stopped. Some for 10 or 20 years and then stopped. So when does the growing in grace end? When you breathe your last. And here they took a hit. The church lost a pastor. It's staggering, isn't it? We read that so glibly. Do not understand their pastor. It saw an explosion of salvations, a revival like none other. Acts chapter 4, it's recorded that 5,000 men believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very soon after Jesus' ascension. Now nine, 10 years later, they killed James. And because the king saw it pleased the Jews. There's another disappointment. I mean, this church took some disappointment. Can you imagine? It was a large church. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, because of the believers at Antioch, not at Jerusalem, but at Antioch, because of their lifestyle, the Bible says that they were called Christians first in Antioch. That's a beautiful term, Christians. And they didn't call themselves Christians. Somebody else called them Christians. And if you think of the word Christian, are you a Christian? How'd you become a Christian? It's a believer in Christ, one who professes faith in Christ. One who follows Christ, one who believes in the truth of the Christian faith and studies to follow the example and obey the precepts of Christ. Is that you? I mean, would there be any evidence to convict you as a Christian? A lot of people throw that word around. But here, they obviously followed the example of Christ, believed what he said, and was trying to practice it, and was spreading the news. And the truth is, they were everywhere. Everywhere. And they're everywhere now, by the way. We're too silent, but they're everywhere. But this man, he pleased the Jews, from whom came our Lord. The land that in my lifetime, if you take all the world news that we receive, I'm talking about global news, not only in America, but around the world, over 50% of it is around that land we call Israel. It's focused on that land. Of every news story in my lifetime, well over 50% of it is based about what's going on there. And I'm talking about world news. Because Jesus was real. This hatred for the Jews and for God's people is real. It is real. And now we have in our own country, hard to believe, the violence toward Jews. And let me say this, it's coming to Christians. Because now if you take the side of some people, you're going to be attacked. It's a violent, and they try to justify their anger and wanting to shut out any other voice that doesn't agree with them. We're so reprobate and so in denial of truth and so ignorant of knowledge and truth in America. Good's being called evil and evil's being called good. We're living in that. We've been living in that for the last good night. Really. Let's just be honest. We've been living in that for the last 40 plus years. And here's this man who was a typical politician, wanted favor of the people. It pleased the Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. They were observing Easter, the celebration of the Jews being delivered from Egypt. That's what they were celebrating, which also was around the resurrection. And when they had apprehended him, he put him in prison. And when he had apprehended him, put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions, 16, of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, he was going to bring him forth to the people and was going to kill him too. The writing was on the wall. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Nevertheless, something wonderful that I see lacking in our churches, I feel like. I think lacking in our church. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Are we burdened enough to have prayer meetings every day? Should we not have some kind of personal prayer meeting every day? And then maybe should we not at least weekly have a church prayer meeting? Or maybe three or four times during the week have a church prayer meeting? Now we have one from 6 to 6:15 on Sunday night. We have another one on Saturday morning at 9:30. Very few people attend. Where people get together and just plead with God. That's what they did when they faced a crisis in their church. A pastor murdered. A leader, Peter, apprehended, and he too is going to be murdered. And the church began to pray. I think it's a good example, my friend. We're out of time. Trust you have a great rest of your day. Till next time, Brother Walker reminding you, you live on the victory side. Hello again, Pastor Walker here. Sunday school will be here this week, 10 o'clock, all ages, our discipleship program. Sunday night, our great evening service is at 6:30, Sunday school, aforementioned, 10 o'clock, followed by our morning preaching service at 11. Thanks for tuning in again, friend, and so long from the Voice of Victory broadcast.
Thanks again for listening to the Voice of Victory broadcast from Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Lexington. Call Brother Walker today and let him know you want to continue to hear the broadcast. 859-231-0442. That's 859 area code 231-0442, 231-0442.
93.3 FM and 770 AM.